Let's get into the Word today. I'm going to begin basically where I've begun the last several weeks. You know, because we love the Word of God, I want us to be reminded of this verse a couple of times throughout the weeks. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words." Now remember, it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking through Solomon. So the Holy Spirit is saying to us to remember his words. He says, "Attend to my words." Remember, that's pay attention. "Incline thine ear," that means lean in and listen closely. "Incline thine ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they," the words of God, "are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Remember, he said, we got to put the word in there. Put the word in your heart, because out of your heart come the forces of life. And if the word is in your heart, that is the force of the life of God that comes out, producing God's life around you and through you. All right, it says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." Now again, the words of God are not like life. Those words are life. They're not like health. They are health to all our flesh. The word must be attended to, inclined toward, kept in front of the eyes, and in the midst of the heart. Now last week we said that it's not enough just to have heard the word, but the word must be received. And we use that illustration of Jesus when he was teaching, and all the Pharisees were in the room. And as he was teaching, the Bible says the power of God was present to heal them, speaking of the Pharisees. And not one of them is recorded as ever being healed. And you know one of them had to have something going on. Not one of them was healed according with record of the scripture. The only guy that was healed was the one that was lowered down through the roof. Okay, he received the healing. He had received the word. These guys didn't receive it. It's not enough just to hear it. We have to receive it. Receive the word. Earlier in that chapter in Proverbs, verse 10, it says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." In other words, it's not just enough to hear it. We have to receive it. The word must be received. That word for receive there in Proverbs 4:10, in the Hebrew, it means to take. In other words, I must take the word for myself. It's not enough for me just to have heard it and just have thought that it's a good idea. I've got to literally, in my own heart, take it as mine. Take it as the word of God. Take it as true. Remember, the word is life to those that find it. We've got to find it. We must take the time to look for it. In other words, it's saying that we have to stay with the word until we get revelation from the word that brings manifestation of the word, because the word is life. Think about this verse, a couple of verses here. Luke 5, verse 15. It says, talking about Jesus, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." Now, I want you to see something here. In Proverbs, it said that we've got to attend to the word. It says we've got to incline to the word. We've got to put it in our hearts. Here in the New Testament, as Jesus is preaching, the Bible says that they came to hear and to be healed. To hear and to be healed. In other words, the hearing, but the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They came to hear. They heard the word of God, and the faith arose in them from having heard the word that brought the healing into their lives. The very next chapter, the Bible says, "And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases." There is this matter of us hearing the word of God. There is this matter of finding the word of God. There is the matter of sitting and listening so faith can rise in our hearts for whatever it is that needs to be done in our lives. Do you need a miracle? Oh, yes, yes, Brother Randy, I need a miracle. Oh, I just need a miracle. I need a miracle of finances. I need a miracle of healing. I need. No, let me tell you what you need. This is what I need. This is what you need. We need to hear the Word. Because it's in hearing the Word that the faith will rise, that will draw the grace of God into our lives, that produces the miracle that we need. Ooh, I like that. You see, it's hearing. And as I hear the Word, then faith comes in me so that I can receive the promise of life and healing to all my flesh. You see, when we partake of the Word, when we receive it, faith rises up in us and the grace of God is released into our circumstances. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, you know this verse if you've been in church very long, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." We recognize that the faith that comes from the Word of God is the faith that drew the grace of God that saved us. We are saved by grace. The grace saves us, but we weren't able to receive the grace until we heard the Word and believed what it said. When I got born again, I heard about Jesus. I believed the words that I heard about Jesus. I believed God's word about Jesus. And when I did, the faith in that word drew the grace of God into my life and saved me. Ooh, that's awesome, I think. Grace that saved me. Now, we began talking about grace last week. We began talking about a series called Another Look at Grace. Let's look at this. John chapter 1. This is really where we're going to spring from this morning and for several more weeks. The Bible says this in John chapter 1, verse 14. John 1, 14. "And the Word was made flesh." Now, we talked about last week that the Word is Jesus. He is the Word. That, when he said we have to eat his flesh, he's talking about he's the flesh that's the Word that was made flesh. All right? "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." We're talking about grace. We're taking another look at grace. We said there's a lot being said about grace in the church today, and that's a good thing. I think we need to focus on some of the majors of the Bible, and grace is very important to us. But we also need to know, what does the Bible really say about grace? What does it say? So we're going to look again at this passage. The Bible says in verse 16, and we talked about this last week, "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." That this grace of God that comes to us, that saves us. Now, by the way, the word, when it says we are saved by grace, it doesn't necessarily only mean born again. It means rescued, delivered, made whole, made well. Okay, every deliverance in life that comes from God is grace. It's that grace that rescues us, that grace that saves us. But it comes out of his fullness. Apart from him, apart from God, apart from Jesus, there is no grace. There is no favor. Remember, we said that last week. It really comes from him. It's all about him. It comes out of his fullness. It is his free gift. All right? We can't earn it. It comes from God. We're saved by grace. Grace, we said last week, is faith's channel of purpose. All right, so we recognize that. It's the grace of God. It's God's unmerited favor. It's that thing, we've heard it defined as that. Grace is God's unmerited favor, which is different from favor that could be merited. All right, so God saved us by his grace, by his favor. The Apostle Paul spoke of the righteousness of faith. In other words, righteousness doesn't come from us. It comes from God because it's God's righteousness that we've received. And that's what makes us righteous. When we believed the Word of God, the grace of God empowered us to become the righteousness of God in Christ. All right, so we talked about that. All right, He is the source. He is our Father. God the Father is the one who put the grace in Jesus, and it's from what Jesus was full of that we were able to receive grace that saved us, grace that delivers us. Our faith must be placed in Him. All right, Jesus told us in Mark chapter 11, have the faith of God. To have faith of God, we must have faith in God. He is the one who saves. He is the one who heals. He is the one who delivers. And it's His word that we believe and hear. And when that happens, the grace is released into our lives. Okay? When it's all said and done, it wasn't about what we did. It was about Him and what Jesus did and had His power to save. Now, you remember in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles, chapters 14 through 16, there was a king. His name was Asa. And Asa was a good king for the most part. And we read in chapter 14 that Asa was being attacked by the Ethiopians. And so he sought God, he trusted in the Lord, and he won a great victory over the Ethiopians by the power of God and had peace for 35 years. Sought God, God spoke, God delivered, and he sought the Lord in chapter 16. He was attacked again after 35 years. He was attacked and sought help from the Syrians, but did not seek God. All right? He won the fight, and that's cool. But the Lord told him that because he failed to seek God for his help, he would have wars for the rest of his life. So in chapter 14, he sought the Lord, got victory for 35 years. Chapter 16, he didn't seek the Lord, still got a victory, but now he's going to have wars. Also in chapter 16, we saw that in the end of his days, he got a disease in his feet. The Bible says he did not seek the Lord, but only sought the physicians, and he died. Now, the problem was not that he sought the help of the doctors. The problem was he didn't seek the help of God. See, it's okay. Listen, doctors are from God. God put them in our lives. They are ministers of His. But the fact is we must seek God first, because the physician can only help my body heal. God can heal my body. We seek God first. You see, we it's all right to get help from doctors. It's all right to get help from other armies if we need to. But we must seek the Lord first. Our faith must be in God. He alone is the source of the grace that can save us. Only He. He provides the grace that travels the channel of faith. It's His grace that saves us, not our righteousness. It's His grace, His righteousness, His victory, His salvation. It's about God. All right? So we recognize that out of His fullness, the Bible says, and grace for grace. In fact, that passage of Scripture there, in John chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, it uses the word grace four different times. Four different times it uses the word grace. Now, this word grace is the Greek word charis. Charis simply means graciousness, but more specifically, it means favor. All right? The root word is chiro, which means to be full of cheer. That means to be calmly happy, to be well off. It means to be well. In other words, talking about things that afford joy and pleasure and delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness. It speaks of the merciful kindness by which God exerts His holy influence upon men. What I want you to see most of all is that this word, charis, is the same word, or is the word, and should probably be properly translated, favor, from the Greek language. Favor. Charis means favor. It's God's graciousness. It's God doing a favor. It's God giving what we don't deserve. It's His favor. All right? We're saved by His favor. We live in His favor. Now, favor or grace is different than mercy. Mercy can only come to us through repentance. Favor is a gift that God gives to us. God's favor is what we're talking about now. We only have favor We not only have favor, but it's the will of God. According to that passage we just read in John, it's the will of God not only for us to have the favor to get saved the first time, but God wants us to have more and more and more of His favor. He wants us to have a bunch of His favor. All right? We need to have favor. God wants us to have favor. Now listen to this. This is Genesis chapter 6. We're going to look in verse 6. And the Bible says this in Genesis 6, "And it repented the Lord that He made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Listen to verse number 8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Noah found grace. Think about it. Noah found grace. The word grace in the Hebrew language as well as the Greek language means favor. Noah found favor. There was favor to be had. The whole world was missing out on it, but Noah found it. Well, he must have been looking for it. He must have been seeking God's favor. The word found here means to attain, to acquire, to find. See, we've said that the word brings life to those that find it. We've said last week that Jesus is the word of life and He must be found. See, when we find favor, we must be looking for it. Favor, grace, this favor from God made the difference between life and death for Noah and his entire family. Favor is what saved him. God's grace saved him. He was saved by the grace that he found. With enough grace, listen to me, with enough favor in our lives, we can get through what destroys everyone else. Favor is what we need. We need God's grace. The ark that Noah went into is a type of our salvation in Jesus Christ. We must climb aboard and find the favor that is ours. God wants us to find the favor. He's sharing it with us. He's showing us the way to the favor. You see, we must be people who find life, who find favor. From the word favor, we also get the word favorite. Favorite. My wife Tammy is always telling me that she is God's favorite. She's been telling me that. We've been married for 40 years now, and she's been telling me that she is God's favorite. One can only become God's favorite when he or she, by faith, receive the favor that is his or hers in Jesus Christ. You see, God has favor. Now, I realize this. He has to have more than one favorite as well. He has favor for everyone who finds it. He has life for everyone who finds the Word. See, he's got to have more than one favorite. He's no respecter of persons, the Bible says. So if Tammy can be his favorite, so can I, and so can you. What is a favorite? If you have a favorite person, what does that mean? Well, it simply means that a favorite is simply a person with special favor. That means more favor operating in their life than that operates in someone else's life. Specially favored is not the same as being a respecter of persons. A respecter of persons means treating someone different because of who they are. God treats us with favor not because of who we are, but because of who He is and our receptivity to who He is. You see, when we receive who He is, we receive His Word, then all of a sudden the grace of God comes to us through that faith. Listen, He'll do for the same thing for anybody. Everybody can be His favorite if they'll simply step into His favor by believing what He has said. You see, our faith in what He said does it. Let's look again in John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was full of grace and truth. "John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake? He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was gone before me. And of his fullness have we all received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In verse 14, it says that Jesus was full of grace. That's what he's full of. He's full of grace. Verse 16 says that out of what Jesus is full of, we can receive, namely grace, because that's what verse 17 is talking about. The end of that verse is talking about out of his fullness, what he's full of, we have received. We can receive it because he's full of it, and grace for grace. Jesus was full of favor. We're able to draw from that favor. From what he's full of, we draw. The Bible says in the Amplified, for out of his fullness, this is verse number 16, out of his fullness, abundance, we all have received, all had a share, we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Now that's the definition of grace. It's God's favor. It's from God's fullness. Out of what Jesus is filled with, we can receive abundance of that. Whatever he has a bunch of, he's willing to give it to us in increasing measure all along the way. Out of what he's full of, he's full of grace. He's full of favor. Out of that favor, we receive again and again. Young's literal translation says it this way. Out of his fullness did we all receive and grace over against grace. This is referring to grace stacked upon grace. It's referring to favor stacked upon favor. It's referring to layer after layer of favor and grace in our lives. We must not ever be satisfied with the single layer of grace that got us born again. Oh, that's very, very important. But there's more grace than that. There's more favor than that. Listen, we want the full stack. We don't want a short stack. We want the biggest stack of favor that we can get. The biggest stack of favor we can attain to. God has lots and lots and lots and lots of grace because Jesus was full of it, is full of it, and he has an abundance of it and wants to give you layer after layer after layer. It is the will of God for your life, for my life, to consist of layer after layer of his grace and favor. Ooh, that's exciting to me. You see, grace. God wants you to have grace for the new birth, stacked with grace for healing. Grace for healing stacked with favor in the marketplace. Favor in the marketplace, stacked with favor in relationships, and on and on and on. Jesus is full of favor. Grace upon grace, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. You see, we should be knowing, walking in the fact that there is another level of his favor out there. And we're going to talk more, hopefully, next time about exactly what that favor is. What does that even mean, to have his favor, to have his grace in our lives? Think about this verse. This is in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. We normally read this at the Christmas time. The angel Gabriel came and spoke to Mary. Here's what it said. And the angel of the Lord came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now listen to this. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Mary, like Noah, found favor. She found it. She found grace. Wasn't something she earned? Listen, she wasn't earning it at all. It wasn't based on her performance. She just simply bumped into it by her faith. She was looking for God's word. She was looking for God. And in the process of that, she found favor. She found life. I like what the angel said to her. He said, Mary, you are highly favored. Now that's something. Now that's talking about a different level of favor. She wasn't just regular favored. The Bible here says she was highly favored. There's favor and there's highly favored. That's a different degree. Again, the word favor is the same as the word for grace. So there's grace and there's highly graced. Now, this is what I know. Mary was highly favored. God is not a respecter of persons. So if Mary could be highly favored, so can we. I mean, it requires the same thing. The grace, the favor that she was a participant with changed her life forever. Not to mention changed our lives forever. Because she found grace. She found favor. She found a whole different level of favor. Let me ask you a question this morning. What could you do with more favor? What could you do? I mean, we're talking about favor that is beyond normal. We're talking about grace that is beyond. We're not talking about just getting born again. Yeah, you're probably, if you're listening to this broadcast, you're probably already born again. Jesus is already the Lord of your life. But what could you do with more favor? With more favor, you could do with ease what has been difficult in the past. With more favor, you could defeat habits that have been hindering you. With more grace, you could do what you couldn't do before. With more grace comes not only the opportunity, but the empowerment and the ability to achieve what God has called you to do, what God has said you to do. I want you to know something. We are also highly favored if we'll just receive it. We got to find it. People go, well, yeah, but that was Mary. I mean, you know, she was favored above women. No, the Bible says literally among women. She was highly favored. But listen to this verse. This wasn't to Mary. This is to you and me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul, writing for the Holy Ghost, said, to the praise of the glory of His grace, talking about Jesus, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Ooh, that's very nice, isn't it? Well, let me just add some more to it. The word accepted literally means highly favored. It's the same Greek as when the angel called Mary highly favored. He says, talking about the grace of God, wherein He hath made us highly favored in the Beloved, wherein He hath made us favorites of the Beloved. His grace, His favor has made us highly favored if we'll simply receive it. Simply, see, it's not enough just to have the little dab of grace that we got when we got born again. Think about this. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow, that means enlarge. It means get bigger. There's more grace to be had. There's more favor to be had. We're to grow in grace. Yes, it's by grace that we are saved. But listen, there's another level. There's another layer of grace we need to get to. We must grow to this kind of favor. We can't make it happen. It's God's favor. We simply must find it by living the life of faith that God has showed us in His Word. James said in James 4, 6, but He giveth more grace. More grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. More grace. The word more here means larger. I mean, the proud are those who set their opinion and ability on a higher plane than they do God's. The humble are those who say, I've got to have your favor. I've got to have your grace. You see, the proud try to do it without God. They got this attitude, oh, you know, I got this one. I don't need you. But it's out of His fullness that we receive the favor. We need Him. You see, grace puts us in the right place at the right time for the right opportunity. God's favor gives us the words to say. God's favor brings the revelation from heaven. We must get more of this grace. We got to find it. Well, that's what we're doing. By the time we get finished with this particular series, I believe faith will rise up in our hearts to the degree that we'll be walking in more and more favor than we've ever walked in before. And God's name will be made great in the world around us because they will see Him flowing through us because we will have found His favor. His life that we found through His Word will be coursing through our lives. And people will see Him. Oh, we need that favor. Let's pray. Father, tonight or this morning, we thank You for Your favor. We thank You for the favor of God that comes to us as we find it. We thank You that Jesus was full of that. And out of that fullness, we receive more and more favor, more and more grace. I believe for Your favor, Your grace to rest upon these that hear this message. I thank You, God, that the hearers are strengthened today. In Jesus' name, amen.